Tuesday, March the 20th. Today we have a spring conference message with Dr. Lloyd Elder of the Baptist Sunday School Board speaking.
Our call to worship this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Let us join now together in the singing of our hymn as you see it printed in your order of worship.
Good morning. It's an honor and a privilege for me today to welcome those of you who are attending our conference here on education and ministry. I'd like for those of you who are alumni and friends of Southeastern that are attending the conference this week to please stand so that we may recognize you at this point. We welcome you and we hope you feel at home on our campus. We would also like to extend a very special welcome to the resource persons leading our conferences this week. They are listed on the back of the spring conference bulletin, so you can see who they are and the important things that they do at our Sunday school board. And I would like for them to take an opportunity to stand at this moment so we can recognize them. Would you please stand? We welcome you. We'd like you to take every opportunity that you can these next few days to get to know these people from the Sunday School Board. I had an opportunity to share with them last evening. They're delightful people, and I had a very good time with them. You'll enjoy meeting them and speaking with them. On our platform this morning, we have with us, who will be bringing us worship through music in just a few minutes, Jim Hawkins, who is with our church music department at the Sunday School Board. We look forward to hearing from him. And I would like to especially recognize this morning Dr. Lloyd Elder, who will be speaking with us today. Dr. Elder has been president of the Sunday School Board since February of 1984. He's received degrees from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, Dallas Baptist College, and Campbell University. He has been quite involved in the convention and Baptist life over the few years, and I'd like to highlight a few things that he has been involved in. He has been involved in pastor. He's been pastor of various churches in Texas, executive vice president of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary from 1978 to 1983, assistant to the executive director of the executive board of the Baptist General Convention of Texas, member of the Home Mission Board, and that's to name only a few. Currently, in addition to his presidency at the Southern Baptist Sunday School Board, he is a member of the Baptist World Alliance General Council and is a charter member of the Southern Baptist Research Fellowship. Dr. Elder, we look forward to hearing you this morning. We also would like to invite you, if your hour is free at 11 o'clock, to join us in Adams 108 for a dialogue with Dr. Elder. We're looking forward to that. Again, to all of our visitors, alumni, friends, students, we welcome you here. We hope you feel at home.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot find rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. You must be ready to go, ready to stay, ready your place to fill, ready for service, lowly or great, ready to do his will. Loud and long the Master calleth, rich reward he offers free. Who will answer gladly saying, here am I, send me. Send me, I am ready to go, I'm ready to stay, ready my place to fill, ready for service, lowly or great, ready. Ready to do his
will. Please join me in a prayer of confession as printed in your program. Great and merciful God, we humble ourselves before you, confessing our failings in your sight.
We have failed to trust you, and we have not sought first your kingdom and righteousness.
We have cluttered our minds and our time with many things, while neglecting the things which truly belong to our peace. Most gracious God, you who have given your Son, Jesus Christ, to save your people from their folly and rebellion, forgive us, we pray.
Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us.
Through the grace and love of Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Reading now from the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we no longer be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. May God add his richest blessing upon the reading of his word.
Amen and amen to that marvelous scripture. And I want to begin my message by expressing my deepest gratitude. I want to say thank you on behalf of the Baptist Sunday School Board to the student body. We thank you for receiving us and what's going to happen and unfold in the next days. We are indebted to the student body, and very honestly, the very focus of our being here has to do with those who are ministers of the gospel and ministers in training, and it is my joy to say thank you for having us. And to the faculty at Southeastern Seminary, we've been received here before by you. You are our friends. We work together. There's a common effort we have to honor the Lord, and I am grateful to be back in the midst of the faculty at Southeastern. I want to express my appreciation to the administration, my friendship to Dr. Louis Drummond, our president here. He and I have known each other over a period of 20 years, and I'm glad to be his guest as I come as president of the Sunday School Board and link our ministries together, even though for this brief period of time. This is a marvelous time for us at the board. We're a family. And I think there is a sense in which I want to communicate a spirit and a message today that Southern Baptists are counting on us. They're counting big on us. And our relationship together as a Sunday School Board and as this marvelous seminary, they're counting on us to come to Holy Scripture and receive its message and come away from Holy Scripture and proclaim it effectively in the world. I'm pleased for the kind of introduction that was given a few moments ago for the theme of this chapel program and how it ties together my life with yours and our board with this seminary. And in the moments that we have, and in a moment I'll read from the book of Acts, a selection of passages, I want to talk about growing people, growing churches, and take a holistic viewpoint because I believe we do that best when we take a look at the biblical pattern of growing churches and of growing people. First, the personal pilgrimage, the personal perspective, very briefly, and then to the text itself. When I think about growing people, growing churches, I have to think of my own small beginnings. Those of you here in this student body, some of you are already staff members in local churches. Others of you serve as lay members of your congregation. But I somehow get amused at the kind of small beginning to which I gave myself as a minister of the gospel in 1953. I went as pastor of the Big Delta Baptist Mission, Big Delta, Alaska. Really, I was bivocational. I was a construction worker in Fairbanks that summer, and First Southern Baptist Church in Fairbanks had a mission 96 miles away at Big Delta, and did not have a pastor for that mission. They had looked everywhere, could not find anyone, and so they sent me. I was actually almost the appointment of the bishop. The church out there, the mission, never voted on me. I was the best they had because I was the only one they had, and so I received that appointment. I went out there that first Sunday, and I had already accumulated in my first year of being a preacher boy at college, I had accumulated at least 4 sermons and preached each one of them once. And so I had under my belt the seasoning of 1 full year of gospel preaching, 4 sermons. That first Sunday when I went to Big Delta, there were 13 folks present that day. I had time to count them 3 times. I was the music director that first summer Sunday, Jim. And I was good at it, at least the best they had that day. There was a field organ, a pump organ, over in the corner. No one knew anything about that, and so we did it what's called without. And after the music, I taught a Sunday school lesson, had some more music, then I preached the sermon, gave the invitation, and there was a glorious response of no one coming to the front. At the close of the service, I went out on the steps of that log building in which the mission met, and I stood there to get my compliments. I stood there to greet the people. And as they passed out, they did just that. They went to their cars, and I was left standing very lonely and hungry on the front steps of that building. From the south, I knew that someone was supposed to ask me to go home to lunch with them. It didn't happen. Finally, Sergeant Bob Mefford got out of his car and came back and said, "Brother Elder, we're not members of here, but if you'd like to go, I believe I will." And so I did. I went home to lunch with Bob Mefford. During the afternoon, Bob made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. His wife had knelt down by his side after I had given a witness, and she pled with him to trust Jesus. "Bob, there's nothing in the world I would like to see as much as you coming to know the Lord." And he made a profession of faith that night in the service, made it public, and 2 or 3 Sunday nights after that, we dismissed service. And he and I and his wife drove into Alaska, to Fairbanks, Alaska, for the baptismal service. And he launched on his way toward being a growing Christian. From that very small beginning of seven, by the way, of that 13 members, 13 who attended that first Sunday, not one of them was one of the seven members of the church. All of the mission members were absent that day. Now, that'll bless you, too, when you get out into your own ministry and find that kind of faithful response to your ministry. From that small beginning to the opportunity which is in the providence and stewardship of God to work with a Baptist Sunday School Board and with Southern Baptist and Southeastern Seminary, we have the care of 38,000 churches, 14.8 million members. We have the care in our lives of doing something about ministering in such a way that we reach the untold multitudes who are without the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity to work together in such a way that we not only see folks come to know Jesus Christ, but that they grow in their discipleship. And that instead of 38,000 congregations, that Southern Baptists are able to start new missions and new congregations in order to grow up people in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe devoutly and firmly in my heart that whether it's the small beginning of one of us or the collective stewardship of all of us as Southern Baptists, the Lord Himself is counting on us to let the focus of our life during these days be in this area of growing people and of growing churches. The stewardship is awesome and the commission is clear, and the opportunity that we have today will draw us out of any of our peculiar circumstances and into the sunlight of God's own commandment to us. Growing people, growing churches. And so there's a personal pilgrimage. Where are you in your journey? I am somewhere between Big Delta Mission and the Southern Baptist Convention and its opportunity, and local congregation by congregation, and Southern Baptist by Southern Baptist. Where are you in your own heartbeat about growing churches? How has God placed you in the journey? Where are you headed? In what direction have you taken your tack? I say to you this morning in this session that you have a marvelous and powerful biblical theme for this spring chapel service, growing people, growing churches. The second way to look at this, and briefly so, is to select some passages of Scripture, and I've done so from the book of Acts. I want to read without comment some of these verses to see if there is a biblical witness and a biblical pattern of church growth that is indeed holistic. And let the Holy Scripture speak for itself. Is the revealed Word of God brought down to us in such a fashion that it is obviously a witness to church and people growth? Is it incidental or optional for us that we have a heartbeat to see people come to know Jesus Christ, that we see congregations started, that we see people in Bible study and in discipleship training? Is that a matter of incident? No, you and I are together on that. It is a matter of the biblical witness that ours is not simply a cognitive faith, but it is a faith that has an evangel in it. It is a witness to those, both of us who know the Lord and those who do not know the Lord. It bears witness that we're to be concerned about church growth and people growth. Acts 1, verse 7 and 8. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." Acts 2, verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Acts 2, 46 and 7, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number those who were being saved daily. Acts 4, verse 4, and many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Acts 5, verse 14, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Acts 6, verse 1 and verse 7, in those days when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Acts 8, verse 12, and they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Chapter 9, verse 31, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. We could read the book of Acts all the way through to the last chapter and find the witness continuing. Now, as I have studied the gospel, the book of Acts and other portions of Holy Scripture, I have found a pattern of biblical church growth that is holistic. It is not narrow. It does not focus only on the front end of the Christian faith, but rather on the full dimension of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And without coming back to give running commentary on each one of those texts and others that could be chosen, it seems to me that the biblical pattern includes at least this. I want to name these by way of saying, in your midst and to myself, what will we do today about a holistic commitment to church growth and people growth? The biblical pattern includes personal conversion. No doubt about it, in the witness of Holy Scripture, there is no growth in the Lord Jesus Christ until there is a personal acceptance of Him as Savior and Lord. Church growth and people growth begins in the power of the gospel one by one. The structures of society cannot be redeemed until the individuals come in commitment to Jesus Christ and make that commitment lived out in life. Personal conversion. Hear it again and again. One of the most powerful things you have as a part of this institution, and we have as a part of the Baptist Sunday School Board, is to come to Jesus Christ in personal faith and never, never get away from it. We can never become experts or veterans in our professional ministry that will ever move beyond the power of a beginning faith in Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean that the initial decision is the only important decision? No, it simply says that before we can proclaim the cross to others and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, there must be the powerful dynamic of heaven itself in our life, and that is a personal conversion experience. The biblical pattern includes numerical increase. Sometimes we're embarrassed about numbers. Well, folks, if that is your own particular embarrassment, I have to confess that it is not mine. There is a hunger in my heart that of all of these throughout this nation, and some of them in my own family, that those multitudes without Jesus Christ come to know Him. And if it is a part of the revelation of Holy Scripture to record 3,000 and 5,000 and a great number were added to the faith, then it ought to be a part of the holistic view of us in church and people growth today that we're committed to reaching the vast numbers of people who are lost and to reach them one by one. The biblical pattern includes geographical expansion. You heard in the scripture read just moments ago that the church was not a narrow group only in the city of Jerusalem, but it was one that expanded into the geographical areas all throughout the world at that time. Ethnic and racial inclusion. The church did not simply grow of our kind and our language and our people, but rather it had an inclusiveness about it that included the whosoever will of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And congregational extension. Everywhere the gospel was preached, congregations were established. And inside the congregational experience, the disciples grew in their love and relationship to the Lord. Organizational development. The church grew in its ability to organize itself to the ministry of those who are widows and others in need. It organized itself for the growing need and organization and ministry of the church. Financial support, for there is a story told about the unselfish giving of those who said the gospel needs this unselfish support. There's also the story told about those who in greed pretended to be generous in their giving. The gospel has us growing in every area of our life. Societal penetration. Not one area of the society in Paul's day and in the first century church was untouched by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For salvation is not simply a personal salvation. It becomes the salvation of the whole creation of God through Jesus Christ. And behavioral and ethical transformation. It is said by historians that those in the first century outthought, outbehaved, outlived, and outdied their pagan counterparts. Such is the power of the growing gospel of Jesus Christ in doctrinal and gospel proclamation. The first century Christians knew what was important, and they proclaimed it powerfully and drew the net. They expected that when folks heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ, there would be a heart and life response to it. And so there was a gospel proclamation, and there was spiritual power. What happened in the first century church was not the power of that small, tiny, disreputable group of believers, but it became the throbbing pulse beat of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the first century church. Today, in the midst of Southern Baptist, brothers and sisters, at Southeastern Seminary and at the Baptist Sunday School Board, as much as we love the institutions, as much as we yearn for their best interest, as much as we want the very Spirit of God to pervade every part of these two institutions, if it is not done by the Spirit of God, it will not be done. And so as we move into our best days, I would say to you as an appeal from a brother in the Lord, that the Lord Himself and Southern Baptist are counting on us. They're counting on us to know what the commission says, know how it was played out as recorded in the book of Acts, and know what it will take in our day to be at our best in growing people, growing churches. May God add His blessing to His word, but also to His people called Southern Baptist.
Would you stand and join me in prayer? Father God, it is a privilege to be here in Your name, and that we must be here in Your name, anointed by Your Spirit, committed to You. We thank You for our teachers, our professors, and those that are from the Sunday School Board that have come and have committed their lives to sharing the gospel and teaching others how to share. For if we're to continue the witness, we must know what that message is. We must be contagious in our lives and in sharing it with others, committed to teaching all and not just a few, using every method available. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.